people. We've been talking about crazy people all month. Yes, people like me, crazy people. I'm crazy because I grew up in a crazy family. And I'm genetically related to my family, which makes sense. And they pass down their crazy genes. So I'm unfortunately crazy like my family. And it's funny because my wonderful crazy aunt remembered something crazy about me. And it blew my mom away. My mom's like, "Hey, did you remember this?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "What about this?" And I was like, "It happened this way." She's like, "No way. Your aunt is right. And she's crazy." And I was like, "That's right, Mom. Because we're all crazy." So if you have a family, which chances are you do, like if you're in this room, then chances are you have a family. Because otherwise, I don't even know how you got here if you don't have a family. And whether you live with your family or whether you don't, look, the bottom line is the people you live with are not normal. That's right, your brothers, your sisters, your aunties, your uncles, your nanas, your ninos, your tatas, your titos, all those people, they're crazy. Or whatever you call your meemaw or whatever, I don't know, but they're probably crazy too. I love my grandma when she was alive. She was crazy, and she had the littlest feet I've ever seen. My grandma had feet this big. She used to wear like Cabbage Patch doll shoes. That's not true, but it could be true. Almost true. Not even close to true. Never mind. She did have small feet. But I want to talk about the craziness and uncrazying and understanding the crazy that comes along with family because we all need family. The Bible says that God takes lonely people and puts them in family. So if you ever feel like Pastor Richard, look, maybe, you know, maybe you're growing up and maybe you don't have a normal family like other people. Maybe your family situation doesn't look like it's supposed to. It doesn't matter. Whoever you're living with, whatever family system you're a part of, whether it's normal, whether it's average, or maybe it's just really strange and it's not what you really wanted it to be like. Today, I want to talk to you guys about that and how to understand it, how to live through it, especially the craziest of families. Because today, if you've never read the Bible before, listen to me here. If you've never read the Bible before, you need to start reading it because the craziest families are found not in your novellas. They're not in the books you read. The craziest families you've ever heard of, the craziest things you've ever experienced, they're not like on those TV shows you watch on Netflix. They are in the Bible. The weirdest family stories you'll ever read are in the Bible because people in the Bible are jacked up. But that's okay because it's just like me and you. And nobody in this place comes from a perfect background. And I love it because the Bible is filled with people that don't come from perfect backgrounds. So tonight, let's pray. And then we'll get right into this. So Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your truth. God, I pray that your truth would be spoken to us. God, that it would change us from the inside to the outside. And God, you know, whatever family situations we're facing, God, whether it's disagreements or arguments, God, whether it's just finding out how to be a good son, a good daughter, maybe it's just trying to get through school, raising our grades. God, maybe there's hurts that we have from the past. God, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see your word and how it can and work in us to have a peaceful family, a family where they and we love each other, a family, Lord, where we can appreciate and be appreciated by our family, our aunts, our uncles, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers and sisters. God, show us how to do this thing called family. God, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, here's the deal, is God loves family. Even though family can be hard to love, God loves family. Because a family that works, a family that loves each other, and no matter what your family looks like, is a picture of God's kingdom, of the way God intends things to work. And I think that's one reason why the enemy hates family. That's why family can be one of the hardest things to ever do. It can be so difficult to get along with your brothers, your sisters. It can be so difficult sometimes to see eye to eye with your father. It can be so difficult to answer your mom when she's talking to you, whether it's something as simple as chores or something as difficult as just learning how to forgive people in your family. It's difficult because it's so important to God, and that's why the enemy hates it. You know, it's funny, but if you have an enemy, then the things that they love become the things that we hate, right? And the enemy of our souls, the devil, you know, the kingdom of darkness, this world so wants to redefine God's view of family. We got to be careful about that. You know, now, if you guys come from a blended family, maybe you have a stepfather or a stepmother, maybe you have half brothers or sisters, maybe you live with one parent on during the week and another parent on the weekend, or maybe you have alternating situations. You know, look, I'm gonna tell you this: the Bible talks about these situations. The Bible's filled with blended families. Matter of fact, one of them today I want to talk about is this story. Maybe you heard it before, the story of Joseph. Back in the Old Testament, on the left-hand side of the Bible, back in Genesis 37, there's like, the Bible spends like chapters and chapters talking about this man and his life, his family situation. I want to go through it with you guys. And if you've heard it before, then bear with me. Like, if you grew up in Rockville, then you probably heard this story before, but it's okay. Let me show you a side maybe you weren't thinking or seeing when you heard it as a little kid. Today I want to go through it again, because I think being a teenager is really hard. No, I know being a teenager is really hard. And I'm really old, and I'm going to only be older tomorrow, obviously, if it's my birthday. Thank you for starting that up, boy. I feel loved. No, but I do appreciate it, because I'm getting old and I want to ignore birthdays sometimes. So thank you for loving me anyway. but one of the reasons it's hard to be a teenager is because sometimes you just feel like you don't fit in. Like I don't know if you felt this way, but I remember back when I was a teenager, I just felt like my mom would always tell me I was adopted. And if you're adopted out there, hey, that's cool. I'm not dogging on nothing, because it's, you know, it's all right. But my mom would always tell me I was adopted, and she'd say, "Mijo, you." She said, "I went to the hospital, and the nurse told me that you came from the bearded lady. And if your mom is one of the bearded ladies that works at the circus, I'm not dogging on you either." But she would say, "I was born from the bearded lady, and my brother was born from that lady from the flying trapeze." And I don't know what my mom's deal was with the circus, because it's kind of creepy, like, if I think about it too much, but that's what she would tell us. And, you know, it's funny, because that's like, and my mom would say that jokingly, but once you hit a certain time in life, it can just feel like it's like these people around me, they don't get me, they don't understand me, they're always like trying to keep me down, or trying to get me to do things I don't really want to do. I don't want to have none of it. And you just think, man, it would just be easier if I was in this family or that family. Or maybe sometimes it's easy to think like it would just be so much simpler if I ran away, or I can't wait till I'm 18 to get out of this house. Get me out of here, man. Can I go to college and just live on campus any sooner? Can I just get a job, you know, and just move away from these people? And sometimes it seems like there's this desire to get on your own. And that's like a good thing. That's a good thing sometimes, like, if you have the right attitude. But it happens in life, and maybe you feel like you fit in with your family. That's okay, you know, fine, whatever, just take this on a different level, you know, because there's different levels you could take this, whether it's family or school or whatever. But sometimes in life, you just feel like the black sheep. Do you know what I mean by that? It's a saying that says you just feel like you stick out like a sore thumb. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that with your family. If you've ever thought, you know, gosh, gee, am I really a part of this family? I know people ask me that all the time about my kids, because for some reason, me and my wife, who are Mexican, had like white children with blonde hair and blue eyes. Like, people stop us at church all the time and like, is there something we need to know about, you know? And it's like, no, they're mine. Don't worry, nosy church lady, they're mine. But the story of Joseph is the story of the black sheep. The story of a boy named Joseph in the Bible, the teenager in the Bible, is the story of the kid that didn't fit into his family. Now, it's funny, because if you look at his life, you might see some parallels. And if you look at his life, you might begin to appreciate your family, because maybe your problems, even though you think they're big, are not as big as his problems, because his problems with his family were quite dramatic. I mean, you know, it needs to be a movie. And so it says in Genesis 37, I want to read a billion verses to you, so brace yourself. Hold on, buckle in. It says, In Genesis 37, it says, so Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father lived as a foreigner, as an alien, as, you know, an outsider. And Jacob has a family. This is the account of Jacob and his family, verse 2. When Joseph, his son, was 17 years old, he had chores. He often tended his father's flocks. That's what he had to do. He worked for his half-brothers, the son of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. Okay, right there, family just got weird. He had half-brothers to a couple ladies, which was, back then, if you were really rich, you had a couple wives. So right now, his family's weirdness, crazy level, just stepped up a couple notches. So, blended family right there. Okay, so it says he was working with his half-brothers there, but Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Tattletale Joseph telling on his half-brothers. But Jacob, the dad, loved Joseph more than any of his other children. Why? Because Joseph was born to him in his old age. Jacob was old, and he had this baby, and he said, oh, mijo, I love you. I'm so old, and you're so young, and this is cute. So one day, Jacob made a special gift for his son Joseph, a beautiful robe, a robe of many colors. So many colors, they made a musical out of it. But his brothers hated Joseph. Why? Because their father loved him more than the rest of them. Oh, man. Jacob was the favorite. Don't you just hate the favorite? Just hate him. Or maybe, don't you hate when they hate you because you're the favorite? Ah. His brothers hated Joseph because he was the favorite. It says they couldn't, verse 4, they couldn't say a single kind word to him. So one night, Joseph had a dream. Joseph woke up and he told his brothers about it. And they hated him even more because of it. Listen to his dream, he says. We were all out in the field in my dream. We were tying up bundles of grain. And suddenly, my bundle stood up. And your bundles gathered around my bundles. And then they bowed down at my bundle's feet. Yeah. Probably not a fun story to tell your brothers. Who hates you? His brothers responded, so you, what do you think? You're going to be our king, do you? You think that you're going to reign over us? So they hated him all the more because his dreams and the way he talked about him. There goes Joseph with his stupid dreams again. Soon Joseph had another dream. Oh, another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. Didn't learn the first time. Listen, brothers, I had another dream. The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. He had 11 brothers. The 11 stars, it says right here, where'd I go? All bowed low before me, of course, before me. This time he told his dream to his father as well as his brothers, so his father scolded him. Right? Hey, Dad, one day you're going to work for me. Shut up. What kind of dream is that? Is your mother and I and your brothers, are we going to actually come and bow down to the ground before you? Don't be stupid. Doesn't say that, but that's what I imagine. But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father began to wonder, what the heck? What did we do to this kid? He begins to wonder what the dreams meant. Soon after this, verse 12, Joseph's brothers, they went to pasture with their father's flock at a place called Shechem. That's what I figured it sounded like. And when they began to be gone for some time, Jacob, the dad, said to his son Joseph, hey, look, your brothers are out pasturing the sheep at Shechem, so get ready. I'm going to send you to them. See if they're okay. And Joseph's like, let's do this. Verse 14, go see how your brothers and your flocks are getting along, Jacob said. Then come back and bring me a report, because Joseph's really good at tattling. So Jacob sent him, the dad sent him on his way. Joseph traveled to Shechem from their home to the valley of Hebron, not LeBron, Hebron. And when he arrived there, a man from the area, just from a random man, noticed him wandering in the countryside. He said, hey, what are you looking for out here? I'm looking for my brothers, Joseph replied. Do you know where they're pasturing these sheep? Why, yes, the man told him. The strange man told him, they've moved on from here. But I heard them say, nosy, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. Joseph's brothers saw him coming. Dun, dun, dun. They recognize him from the distance. Dun, dun, dun. It's probably that loud coat he was wearing. Those light-up shoes, too. And he approached. And what did they do?
They made plans to kill him.
You read this story before?
Or is it this? Oh, cheaters. Look at that. It's up there. They made plans to kill him.
Kind of jacked up.
Here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. That was a well. That was a well. We'll tell our father a wild animal ate him.
See, this is pretty jacked up right here. Like, this part of the story is really jacked up. And then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. Bitter. Verse 21. Then Reuben, the oldest, heard their scheme, and he came to Joseph's rescue. He said, no, guys, come on. Come on. Don't kill him. Why should we shed blood? I know. Let's just throw him into the cistern and leave him. Then he'll die without us even having to touch him. Funny, because the Bible said Reuben came to his rescue. I don't think so. I find a different interpretation here. Then he'll die without us even having to lay a hand on him. Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. Like a prank, I guess. Jacked up prank. So Joseph finally arrived, and his brothers ripped off his beautiful robe that he was wearing. They grabbed him, and they threw him into the cistern. They threw him into the well. They ripped up the beautiful robe that he's wearing, and it says that the cistern was empty. There's no water in it. Then just as they were sitting down to eat, which is really jacked up, here he is inside the cistern. They're, like, eating food while he's like, help, help. It's not funny, guys. Like, that's what you do. You know, like, when your bigger brother's on you, like, making you, why are you hitting yourself? Stop, it's not funny. Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Stop, it's not funny. This is, like, the super, super ramped up version of that. It says, now, just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked and they saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming towards them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum balm and aromatic resin. These were traders. These were like, this is like the traveling swap meet coming down to Egypt. So Judah, one of the brothers, said, hey, what are we going to get by killing this guy? There's nothing in it for us. We just got to cover it up. Instead of hurting him, I know, let's sell him. The whole story just keeps on getting worse and worse. Let's sell him to these Ishmaelite traders. After all, he's our brother. Psh, he's our own flesh and blood. It'd be jacked up to kill him. Let's just sell him as a slave. So the brothers agreed. Right? This is terrible. When was the last time your little brother tried to sell you as a slave to foreigners? Right? So the Ishmaelites, who were Midianites, they came by Joseph's brothers, pulled him out of the cistern, and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. The traders took him to Egypt. And Joseph's story continues on. He actually became a slave. He was a slave to this Egyptian army official. He gets framed for raping a woman, which is terrible. He didn't even do it. And it goes on, and he gets put in jail. And it's like a 13, 15, 16 year period of from 17 years old on to his 20s into his 30s. He is a slave and a prisoner, all because his brothers hated him. This is the story of Joseph in the Bible. Now, look, I know you don't get along with your family sometimes, but at least they're not selling you off to slavery. Can a brother get an amen? So what I'm saying is, there's hope. So this whole story, Joseph never fits in to his family. His father is his father's favorite, but even then, after he begins to talk, he kind of gets on his dad's bad side. His brothers, his 10 brothers, because the youngest was okay with him. But this 10 older brothers hate him to the point to where they want to kill him, sell him, and literally get rid of him from the family. And I don't know if you've ever felt like you stuck out. I don't know if you've ever felt like everybody was against you. But this is the life that Joseph is living. It's kind of like Ratatouille, right? Yeah, with the rat and the tattooey. Yeah, they just didn't get it. He just didn't fit in. And here's Joseph. And the truth of the matter is sometimes you just can't help it, right? Sometimes you just stick out. Sometimes there's nothing you can do to get people to like you. I mean, it is not Joseph's fault his brothers hated him. They hated him because of the decisions his dad was making, right? His dad loved him the most, so the rest of his brothers hated him. That was not Joseph's fault. And sometimes there's nothing you can do to make the situation go away. That's just the way it is. If you find yourself being bullied at school, you find yourself having challenges with your family, sometimes it's just the way it is. It's just the way the circumstances are lined up, and you can't do anything about it. It says Joseph hated him. Why? Because his father loved him. He was giving him gifts. And sometimes you just got to deal with it. Look. Family has tension in it. Even if you're the perfect child, which you're not. Even if you were the perfect child, your family would still have challenges. It's just the way family works. Families fight. Families don't get along sometimes, and that's normal, right? There's just disagreements that happen because you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people in one house, maybe more, with different ideas. And it's a God-given tension. Look, right now you guys are teenagers and you guys are learning and you guys are wanting to leave the house. One day you're going to be all grown up and you're going to go off on your own, and this is just part of the process where God designed you to begin to have tension with your family. So you guys are getting ready to launch. That's just part of the program. When I turned 17, 18, me and my mom get along. Like, we're tight. Me and my mom, I was her cuddle bunny, okay? And that's way too much information, but I was a little boy and I was like, I was mom's cuddle bunny, and me and mom, my mom were tight, right? I love my mama. But all of a sudden, I became 17, and me and mom began to fight all the time. And we would argue, and we would get angry at each other. And it was the weirdest thing, because me and my mom get along in super cool ways. You know, like I said, I love my mom. She would call me every day when I moved out of the house. And it was okay. But even within that good relationship between me and my mom, when you begin to grow up, it's just part of the process where you begin to want to think beyond your family. Sometimes there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's part of the transition that God's designing your family. And Joseph couldn't do anything about it. Sometimes you just can't help it. The Bible says his father loved him, and because of that, his brothers couldn't say a kind word. But that don't mean you've got to make it worse. Just because there's tension in the family because you don't see eye to eye with your family, that doesn't mean you got to make it worse. See, Joseph didn't do himself no favors by talking about those dreams, right? Like, let's just be real, that was stupid, right? Joseph did not do himself any favors by capitalizing on the fact. So if you have a stepmom and you just don't get along with her, I'm going to tell you this right now. That may be natural, but that doesn't mean you got to dig in and make it worse. That doesn't mean you got to make fun of her kids, your, you know, stepbrothers or sisters. That doesn't mean you've got to pit mom against dad. Look, if your family's going through a divorce right now, it is just hard. It is just difficult. But that does not mean that you need to step in and, because you're angry, pit one against the other. My kids do this thing sometimes where it's like, Dad, can I have some ice cream? I'm like, no. So you know what they do? Hey, Mom, can I have some ice cream? Right? And if she says yes, it's like, what are you doing? I told you. But Mom said, but I said, but Mom said. And then it's like World War III breaks out over a cup of ice cream. Look, right now, if you have tension in your family, don't add on to it. Joseph made the bad move of telling a dream. And then you know what? After it made his whole family angry, you know what he did? He told them the other dream, and it made things even worse. And you know what happened? He got him thrown inside of a pit. You don't want to be in the pit. So don't earn the arguments in your family. Genesis 37, it says, they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about it. That was Joseph's fault. So if you find yourself in a place where it's challenging, I remember going to San Francisco like 10 years ago. Me and my wife, we went up there for like a vacation, and we were at a Starbucks, of course, and there was this girl sitting on the street, and of course, you know, we're just watching people and talking and, you know, drinking our lattes. And after we're done, we go out and we sit next to the girl, and we're like, hey, what's up? How are you doing? Because she was young. Well, she began to tell us she grew up in Michigan. She was 16 years old, and she got in such an argument with her mom that she ran away. Who at 16 years old gets in an argument so bad that you leave and you travel half the country, end up homeless, wearing a dirty pair of clothes, asking strangers for money at 16 years old? What is so big to get in an argument? We ended up just, give her a few bucks, told her about Jesus. That's all we could do. 16 years old running away and ending up halfway across the country because of an argument with the mom. Like, when is that ever okay? When is that better? Asking strangers for money, going through garbage cans, and wearing the same pair of clothes week in, week out. When is that ever okay? When is that better than not patching things up with a mom or a dad? I couldn't get it. I mean, I still remember it. 10 years later, I still remember this girl on the side of the Starbucks in San Francisco. And I wonder, 10 years ago, where is she now? She's 26 right now. Where is she? Did she ever call her mom back? Where is she? Did she ever make it back to Michigan? Where is she? Did she ever get the courage to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I forgive you? Where is this 26-year-old girl I saw in San Francisco right now? Is she still on the streets? Did she find somebody to spend her days with? Is she alive? I remember doing homeless ministry as a teenager, and every homeless person would tell me they have a knife just in case. Did she have to do that? Did she have a knife with her? Did you see what I'm saying? All because she couldn't get along with her family. And are we tempted to do the same things? You see, we have a choice to respond like a victim through getting revenge. Look, Joseph, he wanted to dig it at his brother, so he said, I'm going to be in charge one day. God told me I'm going to be in charge, through rebellion or through resentment. Sometimes we think, everything would be better if I just ran away, or everything would be better. You know what? My dad said this, so I'm going to do the exact opposite of what.
Like, you do that sometimes, right? Like, they tell you to do something, and you do the exact opposite of what they tell you just to show them that you're not the boss of me now.
Like, some of us do that. We answer in rebellion, or we get resentful. We begin to, inside, everything they do bothers us. And that's the way victims respond. But God's called us to respond with righteousness. I mean, all that means is doing things God's way. You see, with your family, when you feel like you're left out, you can get revenge, you can rebel, or you can be resentful, hold grudges and never forgive, or you can do things God's way, and you won't end up like that girl, that 16-year-old girl on the side of Starbucks. It's your choice. You see, sometimes you can't help being the odd man out. Sometimes you can't. Arguments just happen, but you don't have to make it worse. Don't be like Joseph. You see, his brother saw him and said, there comes the dreamer. There it is. It wasn't about his dad being the favorite anymore. But now it was about the things that he did to frustrate them. It threw him in the pit. You see, sometimes you can't help the arguments. You don't got to make it worse. But you got to realize that God's going to use that thing that makes you stick out to bless your family. You know, it's funny that the very thing that got Joseph thrown in the pit is the very thing that saved their family's life. The difference is what got him thrown in the pit was when he'd used it the wrong way. But what saved his family's life is when he used it the right way. See, some of you guys in this place, your parents don't get you. You're nothing like your mom. Matter of fact, you might be the exact opposite of your family. And that's what causes the fights. Why do you have to be so different? Why can't you just think like us? Why can't you get good grades? Why can't you understand this? You're just like, insert family member. Why can't you be more like, insert other family member? Right? Why can't you? If only you were more like, the worst is when you go see teachers and stuff. Oh, you're that person's brother. Come on, you. But it's that thing that makes you different. If you give it to God, that will rescue your family, that'll bless your family. You see, the thing that makes you stand out, if you give it to God, will be the thing that makes your family stand up and take notice. I used to get in arguments all the time with my family about me being a Christian. My family would tell me this. You're never home. You're either at school, you're with your girlfriend, which was a different story, or you're at church. And I remember I spent more time at church than I did at home. Now, I would have seen my family if they would have came to church with me, but that's none of my business. See, and they would always get on my case because this thing that I did, I gave my heart over to Jesus. I fell madly in love with God, and I couldn't help but be at church every time it was open. They used to give me a hard time about it. I couldn't help it. I was doing the right thing, but because I prayed for my family and I was a good son when I saw them, God used that very thing to bless my family. See, Joseph, when he was tattling on his brothers, when he was dreaming his dreams, when he gave it over to God, it was that attitude, that integrity. It was those dreams that caused Joseph to rise up and bless his family and rescue them in their time of need. You see, I remember we used to have a kid, and he's all grown up now, but we used to have a kid here named Kendall. And Kendall, years ago, he was coming through the youth ministry, and he rapped for us, and he'd do good things. And Kendall, he gave his heart to Jesus, and he lived with his grandma. His family was like all jacked up, you know, between drugs and prison and everything, and he didn't even know half his family. But he came to church, he got saved, and we would talk and we would pray. Well, over the years he began to come, his whole family began to relocate here in Southern California, and they began to come to church and begin to get saved. You see, he didn't know his family until he got saved, and his prayers brought his family back to him. The thing that made him different than everybody was the thing that changed his family's life. Today, in this place, whatever's making you different, whatever your point of conflict, the thing that you argue with your family all the time, if you turn that over to God, it will be the very thing that blesses your family, the very thing that your family will begin to stand up and say, you know, I'm so glad you were like this. I'm so glad that you are exactly who you are. It'll be the thing that God uses to turn around. And where it's a point of where you guys fight, it'll become a point where God blesses your family through you. You see, God designed you that way, and God puts you in the family you're in for a reason, because your family needs you. That's why you're different. If you were like the rest of your family, they wouldn't need you because, well, you were just like them. But the fact that you're different than your family means that your family needs you to round them out and make them look really good, right? You compliment them. You compliment them. And things that are different complement each other. Opposites attract. That's why I love my wife, because she's not me. If she was just like me, I would probably kill her. No, but really. She's different than me. That's why I love her. Let's do this. Hey, we got some questions for you guys. We're going to do this tonight. Next week will be different. But let's do this. Everybody stand up real quick. Everybody stand up.